Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Brajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada.
Jambu Shripad Pahamasa Pavichari Astato Sashamad A.C. Bhaktivanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Anta Koti Vaishnavrindiki. Prem Sakoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prahunitana Shidvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki. Gadamaranam Sankirtanki. All groups of some devotees. All groups of some devotees. All groups of some devotees. All groups of Shishiguru and Shigurangar Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatya Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 22, we're doing two verses today, text 22 and 23. So I'm told to just read the Sanskrit for the first one, and then we'll do the call response for the next one. Sonu guatva vyavasitam mahesh. You're going to do call response for this also? It's just this one. Oh, we just do it together, okay. Sonu guatva vyavasitam mahesha duhitu sputam. Tasmay guna ganadhyaya dadau tulyam praharshita. Translation. After having unmistakably known the decision of the queen, as well as that of Devahuti, the emperor most gladly gave his daughter to the sage, whose host of virtues was equaled by hers. All right, in the next verse, we do the call response. Shata Rupa Maharajni Paribarhan Mahadhana Dampatyo Paryadat Pritya Bhushavasa Parichadan Shatarupa Maharajni Paribarhan Mahadhana Dampatya Paryadat Pritya Bhushavasa Parichadan Shatarupa Maharajni Paribarhan Mahadhana Dampatya Paryadat Pritya Bhushavasa Parichada. Please chant. Nampatya paryadat pritya Bhusha vasa parichada Shatarupa maharajni Paribarhan mahadhanan Dampatya paryadat pritya Bhushavasa Parichadan Shatarupa Maharajne Paribarhan Mahadhanan Dampatya Paryadat Pritya Bhushavasa Parichadan Satarupa Maharajne Paribarhan Mahadhana Dampatya Paryadat Pritya
Bhushavasa Parichana Shatarupa Maharajne Paribarhan Mahadhana Nampatya Paryadat Pritya Bhushavasa Parichana
Advertuit Shatarupa Empress Shatarupa Maharajne, the Empress. Paribarhan, dowry. Mahadhanan, valuable presents. Dampatyo, to the bride and bridegroom. Paryadat, gave. Pritya, out of affection. Bhusha, ornaments. Vasa, clothes. Parichadan, articles for household use. Translation. Empress Shatarupa lovingly gave most valuable presents suitable for the occasion, such as jewelry, clothes, and household articles, and dowry to the bride and bridegroom. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The custom of giving one's daughter in charity with a dowry is still current in India. The gifts are given according to the position of the father or the bride. Paribarhan Mahadhanan means the dowry which must be awarded to the bridegroom at the time of marriage. Here, Mahadhanan means greatly valuable gifts, befitting the dowry of an empress. The words Bhusha Vasa Parichadan also appear here. Bhusha means ornaments, Vasa means clothing, and Parichadan means various household articles. All things befitting the marriage ceremony of an emperor's daughter were awarded to Kardama Muni, who was until now observing celibacy as a brahmachari. The bride, Devahuti, was very richly dressed with ornaments and clothing. In this way, Kardama Muni was married with full opulence to a qualified wife and was endowed with the necessary paraphernalia for household life. In the Vedic way of marriage, such a dowry is still given to the bridegroom by the father of the bride. Even in poverty-stricken India, there are marriages where hundreds and thousands of rupees are spent for a dowry. The dowry system is not illegal, as some have tried to prove. The dowry is a gift given to the daughter by the father to show goodwill, and it is compulsory. In rare cases where the father is completely unable to give a dowry, it is enjoined that he must at least give a fruit and a flower. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, God can also be pleased even by a fruit and a flower. When there is financial inability and no question of accumulating a dowry by another means, one can give a fruit and flower for the satisfaction of the bridegroom. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramantam Vinatasman Shri Gurvena Maham. So, yeah, this system of giving one's daughter in charity in India, we call it Kanya Dan. Kanya is the daughter, the girl, and Dan in charity. So, yeah, the Vedic culture is that, yeah, a daughter is wealth, is something, is someone valuable, you know. So when you give somebody of value to another person, you protect it, you take care of it, and then you give somebody, that person, in charity to the other, to the groom, and then you also naturally give so many other things along with this really valuable person that you're giving away to the husband, to the groom. And you give, yeah, and you naturally from your heart, you want to make sure that they're set up for life, or they're set up at least to some extent. So naturally, the parents want to give something, you know, especially the bride's parents. The bride, yeah, more than the groom, the bride's parents have more anxiety about, you know, what will happen. Because especially in India, that's the culture still, that, yeah, here we are concerned, you know, we are giving our daughter our precious gem. And so here, let's do our best to make sure they're all set up for life, not just materially, but also spiritually. And yeah, we see that in India still. And that was the dowry system that Prabhupada's talking about. Yeah, that system of just loving affection from one's heart, that word just stands out so much from the verse with Preeti. What was the word? Preeti, right? Yeah, Preeti, out of affection. the queen Shatarupa. She gave out of affection. So yeah, whenever we give, whenever we take care of our dependents of any form, be a daughter or anyone else, there should be affection. It should be affection. Yeah, there's naturally it will be affection. And yeah, be it for the guru's disciples, for parents, it's kids, for siblings, it's the younger sibling. So there's naturally affection. And whenever we give something, yeah, there's a lot of affection, should be affection. And of course, there's a sense of duty also that, yeah, we should do this. But yeah, but out of affection also we do. And normally, yeah, more than duty, it is affection that really pulls more from our heart. We end up giving more out of affection. And out of duty, yeah, we might give some things, but out of affection, when we have deep affection, then we just give and give more and more. In the Krishna book, in the 10th canto, when when Krishna was born, he was in his mind, he was mentally giving charity. They were in prison, so that he couldn't give charity. That's the system. And again, out of joy and affection, here's our newborn son. We want to give to others. We want to give and give, get blessings from the brahmanas. So he couldn't do it in prison. So he did it in his mind. So sometimes, yeah, we might be in a position where, yeah, we cannot give something, but in our mind at least, we should, we should give you out of joy, let's give charity. I give charity here. I give to this person. Out of joy. So Vasudeva was doing that in his mind, and of course Prabhupada also explains in the purport itself. Yeah, if a father does not have the capability to give anything, at least give a fruit and flower. Is that intention? Is that intention that matters? And yeah, with Krishna also, of course. Yeah, many times we are able to give so much to Krishna and just out of our heart, and. But Krishna often sees not what we are giving, but what we are holding back. So a poor person might give, might give a small amount, but for that poor person, that might be a huge sum. That might be a huge deal, actually. Whatever small amount he's giving, a huge percentage of his wealth. But if a rich person, he might give a lot more, but it might just be a small drop of water from the ocean. So Krishna sees kindly to the person who gives more from his heart, more from what he can, to the best of his ability. So yeah, for the father also, yeah, whatever the family can. And it's not just material things, but also, yeah, the intention, the spiritual blessings, And when we got married, yeah, our parents kindly, they just showered us with blessings, material and spiritual. Our mother also gave out of her heart, And of course, she wasn't obliged to. There's no obligation. And that's another thing. There's no obligation, In the mode of goodness, there's no obligation from any side. In this age, in Kali Yuga, the idea of dowry has become a lot more transactional, It's like, and especially in India, it's like, yeah, people, like the groom side expects. Apparently in Iran, it's the opposite side. The groom actually gives dowry, apparently. And so in India, but traditionally, yeah, the bride gives dowry, and people expect it. And then sometimes they even go down to harassing the newlywed bride and saying, your family should have given even more money. You've come into this family. We're taking care of you. And so that's more in the mode of ignorance, really. Charity should be out of a mode of goodness where it's from the heart. It's for the right person, for the right cause, for the right intention, and not charity for, because if we don't do this, my God, they're going to harass our daughter. Or if you don't give it, then we're not going to treat you well. That only goes to show, we only care about the transaction. So any charity, anything that's given, should be in the mode of goodness. And mode of ignorance is we only care about X number of dollars. And I was reflecting about, charity in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, is described, and it can be in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. And mode of goodness, again, it's for the right person, right cause, right time, and with the right intentions, right? Mode of passion. Anyone remember what's the charity in mode of passion? What's the normal mood?
I think it's fruitive.
Yeah, fruitive, yeah. You normally expect something out of it, when you're giving a lot of money, you expect, especially in temples, you expect, my name's going to be there somewhere, or even universities, they have buildings named after people because, Yeah, you just kind of expect it. Well, if somebody gives millions of dollars, well, we got to name a department. I'm sure there's levels. You give X numbers, your department gets named, your door gets named, or bench, and then department, and the building, and so forth. So it's very, nowadays it's like a whole, it's a whole vocation. You know, there's fundraising professionals, and they know, well, you got to do this for this, you got to do this for this. So yeah, there's a little bit of a fruitive mentality that, yeah, if they give this much, then there has to be some result out of it. So that's a little bit more in the mode of passion. We expect fruits out of it. And what's ignorance? What are some normal symptoms for charity and mode of ignorance?
Unworthy person.
Was it unworthy person? Yeah, unworthy person, with the wrong intention, of course. Sometimes begrudgingly or with really bad, you know, ill or just like kind of aloof, just here, just take it and go away and don't want to see you, you know, and just leave me alone. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes that also happens. If we harass somebody enough, then they give a donation or whatever we're asking for. That's normally a little bit more in the mode of ignorance. Mode of goodness is when the person is just happy and the blessing just comes out of one's heart. And that's the best kind of service, actually. When we do something out of our own heart, not expecting anything in return, and then the other person also naturally, you know, just feels just so happy that this person has been so kind. Let me give something in return. And they might give something substantial or they might not, depending on their ability. They might just appreciate you, you know. And so, yeah, I remember when we started this program, Krishna Cares, and during the pandemic, and we would go to the hospitals, but we would also started finding elderly people in the area in Gainesville, and we just went door to door and we would distribute, and then the program continued. And so every year when we would have hurricanes, so then we wouldn't be able to do those programs. Krishna Lunch would be, you know, closed for those days. And so there's one specific place we would go for the they're all retired older people, they live there, and so we couldn't go for a few days. And then when we did show up, they were all so happy. They were like, "We're waiting for you. We were waiting for you," you know. And so it's just that, just hearing that was like, that was our reward. That, yeah, these people, they're waiting for, not just for us, but they were waiting for prasadam. So that was our reward. That, you know, that's their sukriti that's developing. They're eagerly looking forward to prasadam. So they're eagerly looking forward to Krishna to come in their lives, in their daily lives. So we thought, okay, this is our reward. This is our joy and happiness. And so, yeah, when we do something from our hearts, then, yeah, naturally the other person, you know, it comes from their heart also. But, yeah, but mode of passion, when we do something with a little bit of intent that, oh, maybe, you know, I'll get something out of this. And then the other person can also feel that, of course. And then also, then they will also give blessings, but perhaps, you know, but it'll be a little different, tinged with mode of passion, right? And then mode of ignorance, of course, that's the most lowest rung. When you do something and just out of, yeah, begrudgingly, then the other person was like, all right, here, take it and go. And so those are the symptoms, mostly motor ignorance. And yeah, and also I was reflecting that even in the regular world, you know, even in businesses, they have realized that when you provide certain service, you know, of course they expect money in return, but they realize that when you do it out of, do it nicely at least. When you do it not because you're getting, just because you're getting paid, but you care. But you care about the person, the client, the client or whoever you're going to, then naturally there is positive results. They normally then tell other people, yeah, these people were so nice, they came, they did the work nicely, they were really caring about, you know, whatever it is they were doing. And so naturally, so even in the regular world, even in a non-devotional setup, businesses kind of realize that over time that, yeah, we should be nice to our customers. We should really care, go out of our way. And oftentimes we hear that, you know, customers say that, oh, they went out of their way, you know, to provide whatever service that they were providing. So even in a non-spiritual context, these principles apply, you know. And so not just in charity, but also when money is expected or exchanged. But if that principle is there that, yeah, no, we are there to serve this person, we are there to take care, we are there to really care about this person's needs, then these principles come into play. So yeah, here Satyarupa was giving out of affection. And so yes, charity, should ideally be in the mode of goodness. And when it's done in mode of goodness, the results are also in mode of goodness. And in the Bhagavatam, I was reflecting about how there's different personalities who did charities in different modes. And mode of goodness, some of the top ones were like Bali Maharaj when the incarnation Vamanadev, thank you. When Vamanadev asked in charity, and his guru, Shukracharya, told him, no, don't do it. He's Vishnu, he'll take away everything. And that's another characteristic of charity in the mode of goodness. It's done for the right reason. And so you do the right thing, you know, be it charity or, according to the Gita, the penance, austerity, or sacrifices. These are all done based on scriptures. They're done for the right reasons. And so Shukracharya was giving him the wrong reason to not do it. Like, you don't do it. Don't give it to him. He'll take away everything. But then Bali Maharaj, for him, like, of course, if it's Lord Vishnu, then definitely we should give. Then we should definitely give. And of course, on top of it, he had already given his word that I will give. And when he learned that he's Lord Vishnu, he was like, I'm not going to go back on my word. So Bali Maharaj was donating out of, in mode of goodness, just giving out of charity, out of goodness, gave charity. And another example I was thinking was Rantidev. And Rantidev was fasting, right? And he and his whole family was fasting, actually. And then they were going to break the fast, and the first person, Brahmana, comes, and he asks for some food, and they give the food. And then the next person was Shudra, I believe, and then he asks for more food or something, and then they give that also. And then finally there was a Chandala, who's somebody even below, an outcast comes, and he asks for water. That was the only thing remaining at that point, there was some water. And so he asked for water, so here's the water. And so, but they were giving us, Rantidev Maharaj was giving out of just mode of goodness, giving charity. And of course, then he was nourished back to health. But yeah, so those are some examples. Are there any examples anyone can think of charity or service or sacrifice that was done mode of goodness? Yes, bro.
Didn't Rantidev go further when
it
was a dog or a bird?
Oh, yeah, there was a dog. Oh, I see. Oh, was that Shibi? Okay, maybe the flesh was Shibi Maharaj, maybe. Yeah, okay, thank you, Prabhu. But yeah, King Shivi, actually, that reminds me of another example. Shivi Maharaj, right? He was, when the hawk came, the eagle came, with the pigeon came first, asking for shelter, and said, this eagle is here, is going to eat me. And he said, of course, I'll protect you. And King Shivi told the eagle that, or hawk, whatever it was, here, don't worry, I'll feed you, and, you know, don't worry about it, I'll protect. And he said, well, okay, if you're going to feed me, then I need your flesh. So then King Shivi started. He said, I want the flesh, the equal weight of this pigeon. So I said, okay. So he started cutting out his flesh and started weighing against that pigeon or dove. Yeah, one of those. and he started weighing, and it just wouldn't balance. Finally, King Shivi had to himself sit on the scale to be able to match the pigeon. At that point, then, they were divine personalities. I can't remember which demigods they were. Indra and who was, and the other ones was I can't remember. But yeah, they were divine personalities, and then, you know, they gave him their blessings. But yeah, any other examples from the Bhagavatam anywhere else? Yes, Prabhu?
The fruit vendor.
Oh yeah.
Fruit.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
In
her basket. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she just saw Krishna, and she was just so touched, and this love just poured out, and she's like, here's all the fruits. And again, she was also somebody who was not necessarily very wealthy, but, you know, those fruits were the only way she was making a living. And but yeah, and then, of course, then Krishna converted those the basket full of jewels and gems. Any other? Yes, Prabhu? He made a mistake, yeah. Yeah, King Nriga was doing his best. in the end, when the two brahmanas came to, you know, they were upset, he said, I'll give you each 100,000 more cows. But they were saying, no, that's not how it works. You have to sort this out. And then finally he couldn't, he got cursed. But yeah. But then his blessing was that he was able to see Krishna. Yeah. So your mode of goodness. Would you say, since he was donating more in, you know, karmakanda style, would it be a little bit more passion fruitive mentality, or no, just motive of goodness? Was that true?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. That was just a thought I had. Yes, true. Yeah, yeah. Oh, was it that? My, yeah, yeah. And you're saying that Prabhupada said he wasn't Krishna conscious?
When Krishna came and touched, that he came back to his original
form. Mm-hmm.
But he was not seeking for serving Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
He went back to heaven. But
yeah.
He was not Krishna conscious.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think he was given the option, right? Either first you suffer through your ill karma or bad effects, or you can enjoy it. So he chose, let me suffer through the, so he became the lizard. But yeah, but he had the good fortune to see Krishna. But then he went and enjoyed his good karma in the heavenly realms. Yeah. So Prabhupada makes that distinction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As dowry, wow. 300. Haritaki, no, what is that? Oh, really? Digestive aid? It's a. Oh, yeah. So it's some kind of fruit. So that was her dowry, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah, Sudama Brahman. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. He just had chip rice, yeah, the broken rice. Wait. Karna and. Krishna went directly? Kunti went. It was actually Indra, wasn't it? Indra came. Indra came. And did he come as a Brahmana? Or just. He disguised as a Brahmana, he came, right? And they all come as Brahmins because they know. Kings can't say no to Brahmanas for. And actually, even Krishna and the Pandavas went to Jarasandha. They went. Yeah, but they asked. They asked for it. And so the mood was, they said, well, he said, since you have come as Brahmanas, I will give this if you ask for it. But they came as Brahmins, yeah. But he knew, he could tell, Jarasandha's side note, yeah, he could tell. He said, I could tell by your body that you're not Brahmins. you're not Brahmins, you know. And even in when they went to see Draupadi for the Swayambhara, they went as Brahmanas. But I can't remember who noticed it, but maybe Draupadi herself, I think, noticed the hands. She could tell these are not Brahmins. Brahmins have soft hands. They are Kshatriyas. They have hard hands, you know, from fighting and all the practice and everything. But yeah. Ravana, yeah, that's, yeah, what would you say? What mode is that in? Ignorance? Of course, the charity was perhaps given in mode of goodness, but he came disguised as a Brahmana to kidnap. Yeah, that's definitely lower modes, but yeah. But yeah, so the mode of goodness, yeah, we have many examples, and then passion, what was I thinking for passion? Oh, yeah, passion, one example was sticking out was, I was thinking about Prajapati Daksha. Well, not charity perhaps, but he was doing all these sacrifices, but he had that sense of like, well, I deserve certain amount of respect. You know, I'm Prajapati and I'm doing all these, you know, I'm, well, filling up the universe and doing these sacrifices. So he expected Lord Shiva to stand up when he showed up. And so Prajapati Daksha had that mood. But anyone else, any other who expected things in return, be it for charity or sacrifice or their service in the Bhagavatam or anywhere else? Daksha was a prominent one. But yeah, yes, Ram?
It is said that karma did charity for fame.
For fame, yeah. I see, yeah. Yeah, he was famous for doing charity, but yeah, sometimes when we have that mood for fame, I see, yeah. Who else? Any other examples? Was that?
At the moment of death, Abhimanyu, mm-hmm. in the trap, he was about to die, he was asking for a little water.
Mm.
Karna did not give.
Oh, wow.
Just for that, Karna was killed.
Wow.
As a reaction.
Mm. Oh, wow. Wow, at the moment of death, he didn't give water to Abhimanyu. Yeah. Yes, Matsu, did you have? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole, another pastime, a whole thing. Yeah, I love that section of the Bhagavatam because there's just so much in it. I remember when I came across the Pururava pastime, I was thinking, oh my God, there's a big heartbreak here in the Bhagavatam. It's everywhere. We see it in regular life. It's in the Bhagavatam also. But yeah, he was doing all those sacrifices to be with Urvashi. Yeah, so that's definitely passion. Yeah, yeah.
Espera.
Yeah, conclusion is good. Yeah, in the end, he performed devotion service, and he was like, "This is not worth it." So yeah, so those of broken hearts, you should read that pastime from the Bhagavatam and realize that the devotional service, and yeah, that's the best thing to go after. Yeah, and yeah, ignorance normally the demons perform. Did you have one more proof? Oh yeah, Rikasura. Rikasura was the one. Yeah, he asked for the boon that whoever head he touches, right? That is that the one, right? And then his head bursts open. So yeah, demons normally they do austerities and sacrifices more to ignorance. Where, yeah, he was cutting off his flesh, and Ravana was doing the same, wasn't he? He was cutting off his heads, was it? And or there was some another demon, but yeah, normally, and that's another symptom in penance in the mode of ignorance is when it's kind of self-harming. You know, it's self-harming, begrudgingly. And so with Hiranyakashipu also, of course, he had, you know, his body was all emaciated. It was only, the life was only circulating in his bones. And then he asked for a boon that just be immortal or just lorded over everything, you know. And oftentimes, actually, I feel like that's another symptom of mortal ignorance. The result, the kind of result also they want is more intense. Mortal passion, sure, they might want some fame, recognition, but it's normally not for, you know, harming others. Mortal ignorance is like, I'm going to do this intense penance, and I want basically this, not just recognition, but I want to push everybody else down. So a symptom of mortal ignorance is that. And normally, oftentimes, we've seen this, yeah, mostly, people with some demoniac mentality. And for us, at least for me, when we do things, when I do things, sometimes I notice like, yeah, I have different intentions and different time, place, circumstances, I'm doing sacrifice or service or charity, both of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we try our best to do it in mode of goodness, but sometimes, yeah, sometimes we end up doing things in mode of passion, or we don't even notice it that it's there. We're expecting something in return. And then Krishna kindly points it out, and then you realize, all right, you know, okay, I'll do this more in the mode of goodness and not in mode of passion and ignorance, but ideally not in ignorance, you know, at least. But yeah, but passion sometimes is natural in this world to expect things in return. But we can make a conscious choice that, okay, actually, well, I'm doing this, maybe I had some mixed devotion service, mixed motives, but let me just do it for Krishna and be now more detached from the results that come out of it. But yeah, and also I was thinking, since it was Ram Navami recently, I was thinking about Lord Ram. And specifically same thing, when Kaikeyi asked for the two boons that he had promised, Dashrath had promised. And again, that mood was that he's the king. He cannot, you know, take his word back. And not only did Dashrath Maharaj understand that, but also Lord Ram. He told Lakshman and others that I cannot force my father. I cannot do things in a way that my father's word would become untrue, basically. And so that was his mood. And so Kaikeyi, knowing that that's the code of honor, she asked for those two boons, that Lord Ram be exiled for 14 years and Bharat be made the king. And so she asked for that in donation and charity as her boons, and they were obliged. So out of duty, but intense grief for Dasharatha Maharaj, you know, he did it. And Kaikeyi, she was definitely asking in a mode of passion, because, and you know, it starts off with her chief maidservant, Mantra. And Mantra was a hunchback woman, right? And she was a spinster, she wasn't married, and she was a hunchback. And for her, she had become when Kaikeyi was the chief queen, you know, she was the youngest, most beautiful, so she was the chief queen of Dasharatha Maharaj. And so Kaikeyi is described that sometimes people would kind of, just in not necessarily harsh way, but they would kind of make fun of her because she was a hunchback, and they would just, like, jokingly sometimes, you know. And so, but then as soon as Kaikeyi was the chief queen and she was the chief maidservant, then everybody stopped making, you know, any kind of jokes at all. So Mantra realized that, well, if I stay as the chief maidservant of the chief queen, then I have value. Then nobody will make fun of me. Then, you know, she attributed her self-worth to that position in particular. And then that's why she went to KK and she started telling her, what are you doing? If Ram becomes king, then, you know, Kaushalya will be favored because she will be the queen of, she will be the mother of the king. And so, yes, she was saying, don't you see what will happen? You know, that's why Ram is becoming the king and Bharat and you will be sidelined. You know, you won't be the chief queen anymore. And so she was able to somehow, and even though KK had a very loving relationship with Lord Ram, she really, you know, saw him as her son and Lord Ram saw her as her mother, as his mother. But yeah, but she was somehow, you know, she got anxious also about her position as the chief queen. And so they both were anxious about their positions. And then when Kaikeyi asked for those two boons, it was a very calculative move. You know, she asked for these two specific boons so that she can stay the chief queen and the mother of the king. But when she did that, Dasharatha Maharaj, he had affection for her, you know, before that. He had affection for her. But she was trying to secure her position, and she asked for that boon. Dasharatha Maharaj just lost all affection for her. In his heart, she lost the position of the chief queen, even though now she was the mother of the king, or at least she, you know. And so sometimes, yeah, we do things in the mode of passion, ignorance, to secure a certain position or stance or certain thing that we can maintain in our lives. But then the result, whatever we fear the most, whatever we fear losing the most, and if we act in mode of passion, ignorance, then we act in such a way that we will actually lose it. You know, that's normally how it works. You know, if we're acting in ways that are not in the mode of goodness, not doing the right thing, then just because of our own very own actions, actually, it'll end up happening because of the way we're doing it. So a mode of goodness is, you know, you do what's right, you do what's best, and that position, Dasharatha Maharaj and Lord Ram, this, for them, the right thing to do was to honor his words. And so, and they did, and of course, Dasharatha Maharaj was just, in his separation from Lord Ram, he left his body, he was just so aggrieved. And actually, he had already left his body before Bharat came back. And when Bharat came back and he heard about what had happened, he was just so furious. And he chastised his mother, and chastised Mantra, of course. And he was just so furious. But Lord Ram, yeah, when he was given that, basically that, not ultimating, but you know, that was his instruction that he had to leave. And he was ready to leave. And Lakshman, he was, you know, Lakshman in those pastimes was the angry one. He was like, no, we can fight. We can fight. We can, you know, you can be the king. You deserve to be the king. You know, this is unfair. You should be the king. And he was so angry. And Lord Ram, in that moment, he realized, you know, he was realizing that, and he told that to KK. He said, I always saw you as my mother, but perhaps you didn't see me as your son, but I always have seen you as my mother. And since you're asking for this, I'll oblige you, and I'll make sure my father's honor is intact. So he very graciously, just very easily, detached himself from that and went on. And then he made this point to Lakshman, that we see that somehow Kaikeyi is just so hell-bent on this. She's so stuck on this, and she just is not willing to see reason, not willing to change her mind. Because it wasn't just Lord Ram saying this, but others also, you know, really told Kaikeyi, like, please, like, change your mind. Ask for these boons. You know, don't ask for these boons. You know, take them back. But nobody could put reason into her. And so Lord Ram then said, this must be destiny. This must be destined. You know, this is what is supposed to happen by divine will. So yeah, sometimes in our lives, like, yeah, things happen. We just don't understand, like, why is this happening? You know, why is this person behaving this way? It's just so illogical. Makes no sense. And then we have to see, like, this is Krishna's will. This is Krishna's hand is in there. And so Lord Ram also took that. And so, yeah, And so, charity, everything, all the services that we give, all, everything we do. But Lord Ram, you know, he didn't sit there and protest. He was like, I was the one who went to the forest with Vishwamitra. I killed these demons. I'm so powerful. I should be king. You know, that was totally not his mood. His primary concern was actually also to make sure that the family stays intact. One of his concerns was that Kaikeyi has brought about the strife. But he wanted to make sure that he was trying his best so that there's no hard feelings amongst the family members when he goes for his exile. So he was trying his best in that manner, and that's why he was saying kind words to Kaikeyi and saying, you know, just peacefully moving on. And he saw that, yeah, this is the divine will. And of course, in the broader scheme, we see, yeah, Lord Ram was there to kill Ravana and relieve Earth of that demon. And so that was the bigger picture, of course. But yeah, but for us also, whenever we do something, whenever we give service or charity or whatever it is, or we do penance or tapasya, we should do it out of preeti, out of affection. Yeah, and Lord Ram was able to do it out of his affection for his father, out of the code of honor. He just went, you know, just gave up an entire kingdom, and is this such an amazing example for all of us. And I feel like in our lives we have different points and moments where we have to do things that just out of duty or out of love, also, you know, hope, if not out of love, at least out of duty, we can do it and renounce or just move on or whatever else it is. It's something that's hard to do, you know, not necessarily renounce, but, you know, but something that's hard to do. And so Lord Ram did it. And so, yeah, But the beauty is that whenever we do anything out of goodness and we do it for the right reasons, and so and perhaps we don't get the results or, you know, a reciprocation that we perhaps is expected or is natural if that doesn't happen. But the beauty of it is that Krishna always, of course, notices that there's no loss or diminution. Krishna always notices it, and Srila Prabhupada always notices it. So. Yeah, when we do that, we follow in the footsteps of Lord Ram to do the right thing, and do our best service in each given circumstance. But yeah, so yeah, these mostly were my reflections on charity, and especially in the three modes. What else? Any other thoughts, comments? Any other examples? Yes, Prangandapur.
Shalipurna gave a different explanation on this pastime. Mm-hmm. He said that Kaikeyi got two boons. How did she get it?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the story? The story is that King Dasarath, when he went to Kaikeyi, a kingdom, and then seeing her wonderful service, he proposed to marry her. And that's how, there's a whole story, but I'm just giving it. Then Kaikeyi was the last wife. And when Dasarath means 10 directions he would control.
Mm-hmm.
He was so expert. When he went, then Kaikeyi said, I want to go with you in a war. He said, this is not for the ladies. He said, no, I am always Sahadarmini, means I go everything you do. So she was like persistent. And in that war, when Maharaj Dasarath was very vigorously trying to kill all the enemies all around the demons. Mm-hmm. At one point, his wheel and the chariot was coming off.
Yeah.
Kaiki put her finger to keep the wheel so that he can, he has no idea that this is what happening. After the demons all got killed, then he noticed that her hand is all, you know, bleeding and finger is almost came off. And then he was shocked that if she could not, at that time he agreed that I would like to, you know, you have done such a great things, I cannot believe, I want to reciprocate. So he agreed to give her two boons, but she was not asking for it. Then at the end she said, if I need something in future, I'll ask. So what is not a, actually like a, her intention to make her son the future king, not Ram. But the story goes, Shaili Purna says, that Ram has a mother, Mother Kaushalya, but Kaiki loves Ram because Kaiki is the incarnation of internal potency. Her love to Ram was more than Kaushalya. But the Ramayana does not say, like for example, in, I forget what's his name, Krishna Abhishek Prabhu was explaining on Sunday that ion means where it starts and it comes back to the same, that's called ion. So Ramayana means he took, left Ayodhya and then he went all these places, killed Ravana, but he is back. So Ramayana actually covers only this pastime. But what happened after Ramchandra came back, Ramayana doesn't have. Because that's where Bhagavatam hits. The 13,000 years that he was ruling, it is not in Ramayana. I was checking also, was not in Ramayana. So from that angle, when you look at it, that Kaiki loved Ram so much and then Ramchandra was reciprocating. You really love me that much, will you do anything I ask? He said, yes, at the cost of my life, I'll give up my life for you. So then Ram asked her, when time for coronation comes, you will do these two things so that I can go. I need to do some job. You know, if Ramchandra would go and kill Ravana, people would blame. What's wrong with, you know, just because some guy is bad, God should not kill. Now, kidnap your wife, of course you can take it. So no blame will be there. So that's the whole reason. Also, I mean, there are so many reasons, I'm just throwing a few. One reason was that in Sakir Dham, in Golok Vrindavan, there's Mahavaikuntha called Sakir Dham, where Ayodhya is here, like Gokula and Golok. There's a little difference and they are one at the same time, there is difference. So Sakir Dham with Ayodhya also there's difference. That where Mother Kaiki's position is very high, elevated. That, but till today in Hindu culture, you will never find a girl named Kaiki. Just like in Christian world, you never find a person named Judas. But even the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation on that, that if Judas actually revealed to the world who Jesus is, if he, okay, it apparently looks like he took some bribe, silver coin. But what did he do? Did he enjoy with these coins? He threw it away. He regretted. But Christian world doesn't understand what the surrender really means. If Judas did not promote Jesus that way, today we would not have the name Jesus. So priest and scribe, there were 1,000 in numbers in Bethlehem, but could not recognize who is the Messiah. So similarly, Kaiki's position is also such exalted, but Hindu culture never knows the secret that Kaiki is actually higher position than Kaushalya and Sumitra. But anyway, these are like some reason why this is covered. And Lord Ramchandra was very satisfied, more satisfied with Kaiki than anybody else. This is the hidden secret.
Thank you for sharing that. What else? Anything else? Any other thoughts, comments? No? If not, then I guess we'll end here. Granth Rashtriya Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.